Welcome to Transformation with Martinet, Conquer Everything and Compromise Nothing. This show brings you real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. If you have never liked small talk and have been on a personal growth journey for a long time, stay tuned as Martinet and her guests share empowering stories. Now is the time to own your past and look toward your future with hope. Believe in your dreams, and all that you want to achieve is possible. Transformation Coach Martinet helps you accept and love you for you. It's time to listen to your heart and tap into your unlimited potential. You have the answers you need inside. Sometimes you just need the right guide to help allow transformation to happen. Transformation with Martinet starts now.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Transformation with Martinet. This is where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. Happy Friday, everyone. For those of you that don't know, my show is about hope and the resilience of the human spirit. And today my guest has a special story about resilience. And again, for those of you who don't know, my show is every Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. And welcome, Dan Birchfield.
Thank you, Martinet. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So you got more on a transformative journey, not because you wanted to, because of life circumstance. And to me, yeah, I have three children. One of the greatest nightmares that I can't even imagine. So what happened with you? How did you?
Well, let me back up. In 1996, I was a 42-year-old, happily married plumber, and two boys, 11 and 8. Mm-hmm. And my older son, Joel, who was 11 at the time, drowned in the Arroyo here in my town in Moore Park, California. Arroyo is kind of like the runoffs that come out and run out to the ocean. My life just stopped after that. I was very involved in Little League with him and my younger son too. He was 8, but mainly I was involved with both Little League and in sports with my older son. Mm-hmm. After that time, I would say it was hard, and we put a name on grief as the label grief, but there's so many emotions, there's so many different people. And what I learned through this was I had to, we do it on our own. And so I, for like a few months, I was just walking around in a haze. Had a huge hole in my heart, did not know what to do, but I knew this. I wanted to go back. It would have been his last year of Little League to coach his Little League team. And so I did and went back, and because a lot of the players stayed on the same team that year. So we got I got to coach them. And so we went through the season and we went to the championship game with Joel's team, and we lost in extra innings, and it was a really good game. And I felt so proud of those boys that did that. Well, our Little League team, you know, here we are, a small town in California. And if you don't know, if anybody knows, it's a suburb outside of Los Angeles towards the Ventura County, Moore Park, California. And our Little League team had, you know, they picked your all-star team to go, you know, and play other teams. And Moore Park usually had some good teams, but we, you know, don't usually win. Well, that year in the Little League season, we dedicated it to my son, Joel. And in left field, there was a giant banner that says, you know, Joel Birchfield. And they all the Little Leaguers had JDB that was on their hats. We had wristbands for our team. So it was kind of a special season for that. It was kind of like my going away to Joel. Well, our all-star team goes on and they start winning. And they started winning in some comeback fashions. Like they lost their first game and they came back and won a game and, you know, the last inning. So then now they have the Little League World Series going on now. And if you watch ESPN, and back then it was kind of the same thing. Our Little League team goes to the next section and play other teams. The next section plays other teams. Well, they got to the championship game of Southern California. Here's mm-hmm. Little Moore Park, and they got to the championship game. And it was during this time period before I would, you know, even when I was looking for Joel, I was praying, you know, please don't take my son. Please don't take my son. Mm-hmm. And I fell on deaf ears. So I was kind of like mad at my God at that time.
This time
I kind of felt that, you know, if this team wins, Joel's name will be out there. It's kind of like keeping him alive for that. So I gave a special prayer, and it meant something to me, because when I gave it, it was like, I don't know, a calmness came over me. Mm-hmm. Well, they go to the game and I'm all fired up, and they're playing another team. And there's some really big 12-year-old kids, like 6 feet tall. And some of these, and we're down, we came right off the bat, we're down 7-0. So it didn't look good. Did not look good that we're going to win this game. Well, interesting things happened. There was an error here, a home run here, back. So anyway, we end up winning that game 12-11. And that Little League team went to the Western Regional Championship in a town called San Bernardino. You probably, if you watch Little League on ESPN. And so I was just like, this is kind of reviving me a bit.
Yeah.
Well, our team did well, and we lost to a team from Hawaii, and then we came back. Oh, and also during that time, we didn't know this, but we had to give out presents to each one. So one of the ladies at our Little League gave a little card telling the story of Joel with an angel pin on it. Mm-hmm. And the angel, and they used to collect pins in Little League too, like from each city that they're in. Well, everybody wanted the angel pin, the Joel angel pin. So it came kind of special. So Hawaii beat us in one game, and we had to come back and beat them twice to go. And they kind of changed the format now, but back then you had to win it twice. And nobody had ever won from the loser's bracket. Well, we did come back. One game, we had to go 16 innings. Another game, they come right back, and then we beat Hawaii the first game. And we had no pitching whatsoever. So we get to this game, and we pitched one of Joel's best friends that was on the team. And it just so happened he hadn't pitched the whole All-Star tournament. He pitched in Little League season, but not in the All-Star tournament, and pitched the game of his life. And we won 2-1. And it was something special. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we go to Williamsport. We didn't win the Little League World Series, but just the story alone, Joel's story was in a lot of newspapers, and a lot of people around the country were sending me letters. Oh, I'm so glad, you know, I lost my daughter, my son. And it kind of gave me hope. Another thing I'll go back to is also about halfway through the Little League, they carried Joel's banner in their dugout. And before each game, the kids would go out to second base and say a prayer for my son. Mm-hmm. So I believe, like I said, they were coming back. They came back from a lot of games. They were playing for something bigger than a baseball game. They were playing for their friend. This kind of changed me. I was watching this all unfold in front of me. And so when they came back, we all got together and we went around Joel's grave and we poured dust of the Little League infield on Joel's grave. And I knew I had to do something different in my life. I knew watching these boys lift my son up, I said, all right, Birchfield, it's time for you to start living life and to do something. Well, I didn't know what that was going to be. I did not want to do. He died in the Arroyo. My son died in the Arroyo, and we petitioned our city to build a bridge. When we came back from all the Little League going on, us and a lot of neighbors went down to every city council meeting, just fighting to put this bridge in. We need a bridge. And they're saying, well, Mr. Birchfield, we have these complications. The electric company owns this company, or owns the land, and we own the land. So it was kind of like a stall. But we came down every council meeting, just fighting to get it done. Finally, what we did was Southern Cal Edison, who owned part of the land, was kind of the holdup. We just bombarded them with letters from all. I passed out form letters from all the city, all the neighbors, and we over probably 1,000 letters. Anyway, lo and behold, they said they're going to sell the land to the city, and they put the bridge over. So now kids, when they walk home from school, don't have to kind of go through a royal. Now they have a bridge, and it's used a lot. In fact, this last couple of years. This last year, they never named it the Joel Birchfield Bridge, but this year they did, the Joel Birchfield Bridge.
That's funny.
There's no safety for the kids. So I still didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I felt kind of lost, but I knew I had to give back. I knew I had to do something. And it all started with the 1 year anniversary of my son's death. We went to a church and we ended the ceremony, and friends of ours had this little pie plate with a candle in it. And I was the first to light the candle, and I walked down the aisle afterwards, and kids followed me, and I didn't know where to go. So I just kind of walked out the church, walked around the side. It was getting kind of dark at the time. So you can see the candle lit. Mm-hmm. And I was deep in thought, And I turned around and I looked, and all these kids followed me and were looking at me with all these candles. And I went and just hit me, said, you got to be a teacher. You got to go in and help these kids. So here I am, a plumber. Mm-hmm. I got my degree in theater arts, actually. And so I go back to school, and this was the 90s. It's been like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I went back to school and to try to become a teacher. Got it all done, did really well. And it came to, he said, well, since your degree is in theater arts, you need to take this test for history, because I wanted to teach history. That was my minor, was history. So I went, and it was, I passed all the tests except one. There was an essay test of short answers and long answers. And I missed it by like 5 points. And I went, oh, okay. So I went back, studied my essay writing, and to take the next test. So I did it again. And this time I missed it by 8 points. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, is this meant to be? Am I conjuring all this stuff in my mind? Do I want to make this happen? Is this supposed to be? So this time I really just buckled down and did this, you know, practice my essay writing, did this and that. And before I took the test, I drove by to my son's grave and we had a long talk. Mm-hmm. And so I drove, took the test, felt good, but I felt pretty good the other two times too. So I wasn't really sure, is this going to happen? So when they send you the envelope to say you either passed or you didn't pass, it usually comes like 3 weeks after, almost on clockwork.
Yeah.
Well, this time, three weeks go by and I don't get a letter. And I'm like, uh-oh, something's, this is either good or bad. I don't know what to think.
Yeah.
So I finally got the letter. I looked at it and I went, all right, is this meant to be? So I drove to Joel's Bridge. Mm-hmm. And I opened up the envelope and it said, you passed. And as soon as I looked at it, I looked there and there's a little, it was a young boy rode his bike from the bridge. I went, that's it.
Right.
So
we are going to take a short break. We have to take a short break for a commercial. But I think that's really cool though. Just like, okay, you got that confirmation.
Yes.
You go to his bridge and you see a child and it's like, okay, yeah. So we'll be right back, everyone, and we'll talk more about the story of Joel Birchfield. Thank you, everyone.
Have you ever had a painful family memory you are not sure how to heal? Tune in to Family Healing with Rose each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. We are told we can't choose our family, but what if that family is not the one we would have wished for? Once a month, Dr. Pat and Rose engage in a discussion surrounding healing and family, showing you how to take true ownership and responsibility over your own energy. For more information, visit FamilyHealingWithRose.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Cafe of Delight, conversations that enlighten and inspire with me, your host, Gail West. Tune into TransformationTalkRadio.com every second and fourth Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific. We are at the precipice of one of the most exciting evolutions in human history. On Cafe of Delights, you will hear from those that are actively working at the edges of local, regional, and global transformation. For more information on hope for a new reality, visit Gail West at SuccessWithSoul.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Dan Birchfield, and we are talking about his son, Joel, and how he drowned at age 11, which is a parent's absolute nightmare. I cannot imagine that. I have lost my brother, my sister, my mother, and other people in my life, but I cannot imagine a child. So, Dan, what was, we've been talking about what you did, like, after his death, you weren't sure what to do, and you really got into his little league team, continued to teach his team and coach his team. And how, if you wouldn't mind answering, like how'd you guys get the news, and how was your wife through all this as well?
It was tough. It was like, he was supposed to go to practice with me. I went to pick him up, and he didn't show up. So I was like driving all around town frantically looking for him. I'll go back a little bit. In Moore Park, especially in California, it doesn't rain that much in Southern California, but it happened that year we had a lot of rain. And during that time, the Royals kind of like, it goes roaring with a lot of water. So we were looking for him that way. What happened was that whole day or that whole night, because I came over about 4 or 5 o'clock, we as a family, we as a town, were just scouring all around for my son. We couldn't find him. They found him, and later it was in Moore Park, and there's a town, maybe 7 miles away, 8 miles away, in Camarillo, and they found his body there. And so my wife was just, she looked at me and she, and I talked about, I wrote a book about this, about what happened. And she says, don't let it be him. And it was kind of like, okay. So that drive to the spot where I had to identify my son was it's fixed in my soul, because, I had my dad with me and a good friend with me. And when I found out it was Joel, I just turned around and I looked up, though. And one thing that kind of like, I don't know, I wouldn't say helped, but it kind of like turned a pause, was there's a seminary that was right up above. So he's found from a Catholic seminary on top of the hill. And he was like a river. So I thought, well, at least he went to like a holy place. And that kind of soothed my soul a little bit. But my wife afterwards, it was hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. It was tough. We had our younger son. We poured a lot into, my son went through Little League. I went through the same thing with him. But my wife went through a very tough time too. And it is give and take. And we've been married actually August 11th, 44 years. We're still together, still going strong. But it was some tough times. It was some really tough times, because you don't grieve in the same ways. I kind of more outwardly, like I said, I wanted to do this, give back. Hers was more private and hard because I'm more of an open person. She's open too, but she kind of like kept her grief inside. And that was a battle, a constant battle too. Right. So, we've got through it, but it was some tough times.
Yeah, it's so hard. And each, like you said, it's everybody grieves in a different way. And there are different stages. And there are, like I was telling you on break, I've had a lot of guests on my shows who have had grief. And I know one of them, he lost his brother as well. And I mentioned one that last week he was on, he lost his brother of dementia. And then another one, he lost his brother. And he said that his family was very supportive for a while, but he was the one that he would just put himself in the basement and grieve. He just, and they would, his family just got tired of it after a while, but he had to go through his whole bit, you know? And I know I found it hard for me in losing like my siblings and my mom too, because I'm raising children and it's kind of hard to make that time too.
Yeah.
Heal everything because you've got other people to take care of and you want them to feel supportive. It's just, it's such a journey.
It is. And I think looking back on it, my town helped us. I mean, we were getting flowers and I mean, it was like they lifted my family up and helped us because we, you know, my younger son, he, and people came to me, oh, you're going to move from here. Cause you can't, you know, I said, no, because I all these people who supported me and helped me. And that was one of the reasons too, I wanted to become a teacher was here. A lot of Joel's friends, when about the time I was, you know, going to teach was my younger son was now coming through, but I still had, you know, in the upper classes, like in the senior class, was a lot of Joel's friends. I wanted to give back to them. And that was kind of my mission that I went on. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped me too, trying to give back to them. Right. However, it was like that stuff I missed with Joel, you know, I kind of look back on it too, that here I am a teacher helping a lot of kids. And I know I've helped a lot of kids over the years. And, but that helped me. And they're going through what they're watching, you know, what I missed with Joel, you know, getting older and seeing what kind of person he was, but being involved in kids' lives and watching what they do, it helped soothe my soul without a doubt. So I became a teacher and my first year, I kind of got beat up a little bit. Here I am like an older guy, 40, you know, I guess usually teachers around here were like in their 20s. I was in my 40s. So my first year was kind of tough. And then my second year, I got a little better. And then I get a pink slip. All right, Birchfield, you're the low man in the totem pole. You know, we're going to have to let you go. And I've been this time period, I was helping coach high school baseball at the Moore Park High School. And so I put in my application again for the high school. Nope, sorry, there's nobody, you know, there's no openings. So I figured, well, okay, well, maybe I'll go on the outskirts of the other cities and try to see if I come by teacher. Well, about a week or two before school starts, one teacher leaves and they said, first, we've got a spot for you. So I became a teacher at Moore Park High School. And like I told you before, this really helped me. At first, I didn't really understand. I just wanted to give back. But then when I look back on it, I'm going, you know, this is kind of therapy for me, you know, helping these kids. I got to teach my younger son in history. I got to coach him in high school baseball. And that was kind of like the highlights of being a teacher there. Mm-hmm. So I was a teacher for 22 years. I just retired in June because there's other things I want to do in life.
Yeah.
Those 22 years, I've taught speech and drama. They came to me, the theater teacher leaves, and they said, "Hey, Rick, we want you to teach a theater class." Okay. I never thought I was going to do anything with my acting, but there I was. They came to me and said, Birchfield, we need an announcer for the football games. And I announced football games. I announced basketball games. I directed plays at the school. And like I said, I was a pretty good actor, but they came to, we want you to direct these plays. So for 9 years, I directed the fall play at our school, coached basketball. So I was so involved doing that. And like I said, it was kind of giving back helped me soothe my soul. And there's more to the story. I'll tell you later, but it's like I said, a lot of the kids, I'll get up in front of the class and I'll say, hey, this is my story. I open up to all my kids. I tell them, this is why I became a teacher. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them the history of the bridge. Because a lot of Moore Park kids, you know, they just walk across the bridge. They didn't know the history of it. Yeah. So telling that and keeping that open is kind of helped me too. Mm-hmm. And helping kids that, you know, and I've had kids throughout the years come to me and say, hey, they call me Birch. And they say, Birch, I lost my brother or I lost my sister or I lost my dad. And I try to just tell them my experience of what I went through it and in doing so that helped me. That helped me a lot in being involved in their lives. I wore, you know, I talked about the angel pin. I don't know if you can see it, but the angel pin I wear here on my, and I wore that every day to school. Uh-huh. And I gave out angel pins to the kids, especially mm-hmm. some of the kids that lost somebody. Mm-hmm. And that kind of helped too. Because here I am teaching, giving back, but plus still, I did this to kind of keep a legacy of Joel. But then in turn, I kind of looked back and I went, well, it's kind of helped my legacy and it's helped me get over my grieving. So right. that was a lot, and it helped me get through this. And like I said, I'm going to miss the kids. A lot of kids are saying, don't retire. And I said, well, you know, I think it's time for me to do something else in life. It just, something inside me, you know, said that. Yeah. But I'm still announcing football games. In fact, we have our first football game tonight. So
awesome.
Yeah, so I'll get to announce that. So I'm still kind of connected to the school in a way.
Yeah. So he hasn't really said it officially, just to me here, that he retired. He's a retired teacher, and this is his first year not teaching. Mm-hmm. So that is a change. What was it a change going like being a plumber and leading more of a, I guess you'd say, solitary life? You might talk to somebody's in their home, you know, when you're fixing things, but what's it like going into a classroom after leading that life?
Yeah, that was different, but having my theater background kind of helped uh-huh. me tremendously in being in the classroom. It really did. Okay. I always was good speaking in front of the audience. And I'll tell you, I had other things I did too in the classroom to kind of fire it up. We talked a little bit about COVID those years, and I had to do some, learn more about the computer, which mm-hmm. I did not know about. And so that kind of was a change in there too. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's good you had that though, just to make the transition. And it's kind of interesting how certain things, you know, you wonder about your life, like why you chose certain things or certain things happen. And then as you go about your life, you're like, okay, I can see why that was set up for me.
That's right. You know?
So we're going to take a break in a moment again, but tell everybody where they could find your book.
Okay. It's on Amazon. It's called My Journey with Joel by mm-hmm. Dan Birchfield. It's on Amazon. I have a website, myjourneywithjoel.org, where they can get it there too. Okay. And it's also Barnes and Noble also. It's a short read, but I'll tell you that there's more to the book than just me and become a teacher. Because the next break, I'll let you know what I'm going to do next.
Okay. Right on. Okay. Right. We'll be right back, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Struggling to find peace in your addiction recovery? Hi, I'm Tanya D, a spiritual life recovery coach and founder of The Peace We Crave. After getting and staying sober, I asked myself, now what? In my relentless pursuit of serenity, for the precious gift of sobriety, my Creating Calm and Recovery program was born. It's a 90-day personal spiritual journey that helps you remove blocks, get clarity, and experience sobriety on a whole new level. Please book your free discovery call today. Visit thepeacewecrave.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
I'm Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Join Dr. Ellie Zarabian, host of From Chaos to Connection, Growing from Pain to Community, every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You can impact the world in the most powerful way. Whatever your spiritual background or cultural heritage, you can transform pain and trauma into community and well-being. On Chaos to Connection, Dr. Ellie helps you identify what you need to make progress on your life's journey. Visit CenterOnPeace.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we conquer everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Dan Birchfield, and we're talking about the story of his son. And on break, we mentioned a little bit about grief, and I was thinking about this, well, two things, actually. This young woman, there's a couple stories in my head, but this one person, she was just like, I want to say 12 years old. She lost her mom, and I thought, this is so wise. She says, you don't ever really get over it, per se. You make a place for it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very wise for a 12-year-old, you know. And there was a woman, I was gonna forward the story to you. She did a TEDx talk, mm-hmm. and it was about her daughter. And she said, she was 7 years old, and she just wanted a little independence, you know, and she's like, Mama, can I walk home from school? And she goes, all right, but I'm going to follow you in the car. Mm-hmm. And they're going down, you know, she's walking on the sidewalk and everything, and she's following, but then another car gets ahead of her, and then another one, and, you know, not much you can do at that point. But, you know, they're driving along, and then she sees her daughter get up to the crosswalk and everything. And she sees the man that is right at the crosswalk there, and her daughter standing there. And, you know, he looks her way, he looks the other way, and then just, boom.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And she was, of course she saw all that. I'm not even sure I'd get out of the car. I try to put myself in that place. And her talk just goes to talk about all the things that she's doing, like you're doing. Everything is to advocate for her child and safety and just paying attention. The guy wasn't texting or anything. He just didn't look that second time.
Oh my God.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. That would be a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing. Like she says, she goes, it's like, you're not really done, and you don't forget, you just make a place for it. So do you feel that's how you and your wife, you've made a place for it? And
you learn, I guess it's like you're changed from after that. Mm-hmm. And you live with the loved one in your heart, on your soul. Mm-hmm. And you just change. The way I look back on it, it's the way I look at life now. And before that, you know, here I am, you know, all right, we've got to make the money, but I got my house, I got my kids, this and that. And then all of a sudden it's gone. It kind of like, there's other things in life. There's the interaction, your family, there's love, there's all these things that you take for granted. And then when you lose that love, it changes a person. And like I said, I think from the positive part of it, it opens up your life more. The negative part of it, you lost your son, you've lost a loved one. Yeah. But I think it opened up other avenues for me. My heart got bigger. I mean, it's got a giant hole in it. Because of that, I feel for other people too.
Yeah. It definitely changes things. And you know, And I think about even like you as the man, the provider, the, you know, two children, your wife, and you are, and it is men, you know, they think, okay, I got to make the money. I got to take care of things. And, you know, my wife can take care of this, depending on the generation, how you run things, of course. But that must have definitely been like just a shift, like, whoa, you know.
Good thing my wife had actually a good paying job, because when I quit being plumbing, I kind of eased off and had to do, you know, the student teaching and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if she had that good paying job, I probably could have done it or not. So she helped me in that aspect and said, go for it, do it. And we had to cut back a lot, but in the long run, look what's happened. So.
Right. And
like Joel was told, you know, not to walk. I mean, he loved to walk. And a lot of kids walked home. And that Royal, like I said, I would say, you know, 11 months, probably 11 months out of the year, it's just like you could walk across it.
Right.
But yeah, and kids would, like, before the bridge was there, they'd put baggies over their shoes and walk across it. Or they had like shopping carts, they would walk across it. And a lot of kids just did that. So and that day he was supposed to take the bus, but didn't like to take the bus. So he kind of like wanted to walk home, but he was smart enough kid. I don't know. I was looking to, when I was walking around searching for him, that water was like a roaring river and there's no way he tried to cross. So something, we don't know really what happened, but our take on it was he probably fell in somehow, tried to look at it. Cause when I was looking at it, there's no way he tried to, you know, cross this. So you're talking about grief too, but he's been my, how should I put it? My main aim in life. And I look back too on it, and I had a younger son too, Ryan, who's now 35 years old. And I wanted to give attention to him too. But you know, I always look back, you know, everybody's talking about Joel, and here's my younger son too. So that was another thing my wife and I had to, you know, all right, we got to, you know, concentrate on Ryan too. That was a tough one. But like I said, I had Ryan in my class. I coached him. And like I said, we have a different person. I cherished every time we had together out there. And now he's married and has two boys, and they're twin boys, 4 years old. And here's another, now I get the grandpa role. So that makes it.
Yeah. That must be nice though, to have that. I look forward to that at some point.
That makes it fun. Well, the rest that I'll keep going with my story. You know, the teaching wise, I loved it. And when I told you it was tough the first couple of years, I tried to get things going in the classroom, because a lot of the kids, especially nowadays with the cell phone, it's tough to get kids' attention in class, especially teaching about, you know, the Civil War or World War II in the classroom. So I got better at my PowerPoints, and I put in YouTube videos into my PowerPoints when we're learning, when they're taking notes. I had music put in. So whatever we're studying, like maybe the Vietnam War, I put in Welcome to the Jungle, like Guns N' Roses and things like that. I also had characters I dressed up as. When we talked about the 60s, I came in as a aged hippie and talked about the 60s. And I came in like the late 1800s. I dressed up as an old union worker. I did that. So kind of made it fun. And in baseball, I don't know if you know this, but you know, the pros, kind of, they had these walk-up songs before they go up to the plate. So I say, all right, you guys, you want the teacher to teach well, I'm going to have a walk-up song. So I would sometimes, not all the time, maybe like three or four times a year, I would, all right, walk-up song. So I hit the clicker and I would walk him in and I would say, all right, clap for the teacher, So those kind of things really kind of livened up the classroom for me that I'm going to miss too.
Yeah.
Son passed away, Marnie, with the city came together, like I talked about, and they opened up a bank account and they gave us money. And I'm going, what is this? So there was over $10,000 in it. So we bought a scoreboard for the Little League and put that up. We needed a new scoreboard. We used some of the money. We flew out to Williamsport to watch the Little League World Series and that. But the rest, we didn't know what to do with. So we opened up a Joel Memorial Fund to give to graduating seniors at Moore Park High School, the school that I taught at.
Yeah.
And so from we started in 1999 and we gave out money, you know, maybe $250, $500. Mm-hmm. And that was another way of giving back. And we would give the kids the money, but more than the money, we gave them a picture of Joel in an angel pin. And yeah. Some of these, you know, some of them were my past students, some of them I did not know, I just, because they needed the money, mm-hmm. say that what it meant to them. And putting up Joel's picture in their room, knowing that I meant enough to them to win the scholarship. Well, the scholarship was starting to run out of money. And in 2014, we were down to like $400. And I, you know, looked at my wife and said, well, you know, maybe that's it. You just don't have enough money. And we had some people that would donate some money here and there to kind of kept it going a little bit. But I love to walk. And I wanted to do this always. And I grew up in an area probably like 130 miles away from where I am in Moore Park. I said, why don't I walk from here to my old town? So I did it my first year, just did it to want to do it. And then Everybody said, well, why don't you do this for a fundraiser? I went, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So I started walking from, well, Santa Barbara area. I don't know if anybody knows, but California, yeah. And walk all the way to San Pedro, which is close to 135 miles. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and we did a fundraiser to try to raise money for Joel's fund to mm-hmm. give to graduating seniors. And the first year I did it, went really well. Yeah. In fact, I'll tell the story a little bit later, but when I wrote my book, one of my former students says, why don't you put in some journals? Because I wrote journals of some of my walks into your book. So my book tells the story, but also journaling what happens on my walks mm-hmm. as I go. And I just finished doing the walks. This is my ninth year I've walked. And I kind of shortened it up a little bit because I was getting older and my feet are getting beat up. But I've had some fun times and just doing that. And I felt really close to my son, Joel, too, doing these walks, mm-hmm. even helping other people, too. And that's helped.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So we're going to take a break and then we'll come back and talk more about Joel's walks.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
Because It's Easy approach is an easier path in making your life simple. No matter what trauma you may have experienced in your life, you can feel positive, confident, and learn to laugh and have fun again. Coach Easy is an empowered empath and believes that having God in your life is the key to giving you the courage to chase those demons right out of there. Learn to set boundaries, be whoever you want, and do whatever you want without worrying what anyone else thinks. The best is yet to come. Let Coach Easy show you the easy way there. Visit causeitseasy.com.
Get ready to step into a level of self-worth never before experienced on The Om Show with Tanya Butson. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You will shift from longing to creating to discover that there is something better. You will never settle for being in a state of perpetual darkness again. For more information and to connect with Tanya, visit organicallymeta.ca.
Designing Purpose, your guide to finding and pursuing the career you were meant for, with me, your host, Brooke Kretz, airing every second and fourth Thursday at 3:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. What if it were possible to leave the job you hate and pursue the career venture you were meant for while still earning the income you need? If you are curious about how I can support you, visit www.thepurposefulpractice.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
Welcome back, everyone, to Transformation with Martinet, where we overcome everything and compromise nothing. My guest today is Dan Birchfield, and we've been talking about his son, Joel. So we were just talking before we went on break about walking for fundraising for Joel's fund to help, the high school students of Moore Park for the scholarships for furthering their education. And you were mentioning how, that a little piece of him goes with them on their journey as they graduate. And that's really awesome. That feels really nice. So you said you slow down your walks a little bit. What is it like? Cause I know you're not alone. You have people with you. And
yeah, my first year I had like a couple of my former students walk with me. And mm-hmm. like the first year, like I said, I didn't know what to expect, to raise any money, but I had a friend of mine who was a sports editor for the LA Times, the big newspaper out here. So anyways, hey, I was in Santa Monica, believe it or not, where you talk about Santa Monica. I'm going to send a reporter out. So, okay. So he came out and him and a photographer, and he walked with me like 7 miles and told the story. So at the end, it ran in the LA Times, the story of my walks and why I did it. And about 2 weeks after that, I was getting funds and letters from people all over the place. And lo and behold, after all that, I ended up getting about close to $17,000 to $18,000 in money just from some people I didn't even know. They've lost one of their, I love what you're doing. I care about my son who I lost and this and that. So throughout the years, like I said, it's grown. We had one walk, I gave out like Joel Walk, Spirit Walk t-shirts and stuff like that. I sold at the high school and kids would buy that. I've had a lot of my former students walk with me. I've had a lot of the baseball coaches I know, a lot of family has walked with me throughout the years. In fact, one time we were walking through Malibu area and I must have had 35 students walking with me. I looked like Forrest Gump and everybody was following.
I was going to say that.
So it was really cool to see that. And that kind of warms my heart too. And this is another thing that kind of like, are you keeping Joel's spirit alive every summer doing these walks? Because everybody remembers that. I'll talk about, and then so now we had the money and we're giving out more scholarships, more and more scholarships. There was one in instance, and I put this in my book too. There was a young man who won the scholarship and didn't really know what he wanted to do. He's gone through college and it's going, I don't know. And then he gets married and he wants to become a police officer. Mm-hmm. And he had to go to the training part, called the boot camp, I guess, to become a police officer. And it was tough for him. And he was telling me, and he wrote me a letter in this saying, I looked at the picture you gave me of Joel. I knew I couldn't, I had to get through this. And you instilled in me saying you had confidence enough to give me the scholarship. And it was his fuel that helped him become now a police officer in Santa Barbara and he wrote this letter for me. And these are some of the things that can I hear like other, thank you so much. I lost my dad and this and this and that. So I read these stories and it fuels my soul for that. I also expanded the Joel Fund since every year we're getting more and more money now. Throughout the years since 1999, we've given out close to $60,000 in scholarships. I opened it up too for the Moore Park Little League for kids for equipment. So for four kids this past year, I gave out $500 a piece for just helping them out with equipment. For girls softball here in Moore Park, we've given out money for that. To help them with their equipment. And also I'm going to expand it out to we have a youth football league out here in Moore Park. And I called up to say, hey, I wanted to give, you know, the scholarships for football. And the guy who was the president of the league was somebody that I knew. I coached him. And I went, oh, yeah. And I told him this was our idea. So anyway, I'll tell you this story too. I met him at practice and I said, hey, young man, I wanted to give you $500, you know, and this was at the park where, if you don't know the Moore Park, there's a park and then there's the Arroyo and there's the bridge there. So everybody kind of knows the bridge that because there's a giant park out there. And yeah. I told him, you ever walked across that bridge? And he said, yeah. And I said, hey, well, we think enough of you. And he secretly told me the family didn't have the money. So I wanted to do that. I said, you're going to do great things in life. And I want to give you $500 to Joel Fund. And I gave him an angel pin. And so anyway, I walked away and I could see his face. It was like, he didn't know what to say. It was almost like this look. And after I walked away from looking him in the eye, I started crying. It was just a set like amazement in his face. The coach calls me on Saturday. I had a game on Saturday. I think I gave it to him on Thursday. And he wore the angel pin on his jersey and he had one of his best games ever. So throughout those things, and that has really, you know, fueled my soul and my life too. And I started this journey to kind of keep Joel's legacy alive. But then as I look back on it, it was more helping me. And yeah, I've helped a lot of kids throughout the years, but doing that helped my soul. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So would you say, like, for other people going through something like you or just grief or whatever, that's one of the best things to do is just to jump in and do something?
Mm-hmm. And it
legacy.
You can't really at the start do it. It's kind of like little things here and there.
Yeah.
And you know, then you kind of like, okay, well, I'm just, but giving back and doing it in remembrance of that loved one, mm-hmm. kind of one, you know, you're doing good for the world, mm-hmm. and you're also keeping his spirit or her spirit alive by doing that. And it could be little things. It doesn't have to be something like this, but watching those little kids do that, it just kind of like, that's it. I got to do something about it.
Right.
Still keep in touch. Now those little league kids, Joel would have been, he's going to be 40 years old. He would have been 40 years old next mm-hmm. year. Yeah. And April 6th. And I still keep in touch with a lot of his friends, a lot of the, you know, that were on the yeah. little league team and things like that. And in fact, one of the kids who was on the little league team with the banner just became the head coach at Moore Park High School, baseball coach. So it's kind of cool to see how that goes. And I think giving back, planting seeds here and there, you'll never get over the grief. I mean, but it sure, it helps. It helped me, and I'm sure it would help, you know, a lot of people, just kind of giving back in mm. that remembrance of that loved one. It would help.
Yeah, it does. I know on my own journey, it's like, I take time when I'm feeling those feelings to do that. Sometimes, you know, when it hits me, it may not be that time, but I always make sure I take that time. But then if I can help somebody in the same instance, it just makes everything better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that happened, you know, like I look back on that and this happened 26 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father-in-law passed away, who was very close to, because he was the plumbing guy who got me into plumbing and I worked with him for 20 years. And my brother-in-law passes away. Then my mom passes. It's like, oh my gosh. But you know, I guess that's a cycle of life. And even though you can't ignore it. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to keep those loved ones and those memories in your heart to keep going on. Now it's easy to say that, but you got to keep going on to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it would be so much harder with a child because, you know, you expect your mom to go, you expect your in-laws to go, but you don't expect your child to go before you. No. So I think that has got to be, even though I have not experienced that, that's what I feel it would be like, you know.
I always wonder what he would have been doing in life, what he looked like, who would have married. I have an inclination probably what he would have gone into, but that's the one part it's hard. Because you just feel like, I never got to see him live life.
Mm-hmm. Or get married or
children.
And So in our final thoughts of the show, is there anything else that you want to say or impart to somebody else?
Well, just be around people when this happens. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just want to be by yourself, though. I mean, and that's okay too. And mm-hmm. there's times where I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to be by myself. When I do my walking, I want to do it by myself. I had a lot of thoughts that helped me get out into nature. Mm-hmm. That's always been hiking and things like that always helped me. Yeah. And then there's time, you know, where you have to be around people. Mm-hmm. And it'll come. Don't just feel like, oh, it's the world's against me, because I've felt that too. Just kind of slow but surely get back into it and maybe help one person, help two people, help, and it does help heal that heart.
Absolutely. So one more time before we go, where can people find your book?
Okay, it's called My Journey with Joel by Dan Birchfield. It's on Amazon. You can check that out there. And on the website, I have a website, myjourneywithjoel.org, just like the book. And on it, you can purchase the book on the website. I also did an audio part of it. One of my former students was into things. I said, let's do that. It was actually during COVID we did that. So actually I did the audio for the audio book. So that's on the website too. You can check that out.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dan. It was awesome talking to you about your story. And I can't wait for other things, you know, other things. I know that, you know, you keep going with this walk and everything else you do is just going to continue the legacy. And by the way, everyone, this man's going to be doing a TED talk real soon here. Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in. Thank you, Dan. And we'll see you all next week, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to Transformation with Martinet. Real, raw, and vulnerable conversations. Listen or watch live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on transformationtalkradio.com. As Martinet and her guests have deep, meaningful conversations, sharing empowering stories. Step into your passions and lead with your heart. If you are ready to accept and love you for you, visit martinetemmons.com and start allowing transformation to happen today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers.